We left off in the middle of the Malachas. We thought of up to Kosher and Matir. The din of the Halacha of Kosher applies in different Halachas. Kosher is a Malacha on Shabbos, one of the Lamedes Malachas. And Tzitzis, you have to have Kshira. You have to have a Kesher on Kesher Elyon. Is the Raisa and Tfilin, Keshe Shal Tfilin, Salah Moshe Sinai, and by Sandal Shal Chalitza, there's a big machlekes in the Rishonim, whether you really need a Kesher or not. The din is that the Sandal Shal Chalitza has to be made from leather, has to hold on snugly onto the right foot of the Yovam. So some of the Risha and the practice always, Minig always was, that they had Ritzuas, that Ritzuas, similar to the Ritzuas on the Tefillin. So the, in fact, the Gemara has an Agoda that in the Schar, as a reward for Avraham Avinu making a Kiddush Hashem, that when he waged war against the four Malachim who had beat out, there was a war between the Arba Malachim and Chamisha Malachim. So when Arba Malachim beat out the Chamisha Malachim, among the Chamisha Malachim was Lot, the nephew of Avraham Avinu. So Avraham Avinu felt he has to save Lot. So he went to Muhammad and he won the battle. So he said he refused to take, so Melech Selim offered him 10 le'anevish v'achush kachloch. So Avraham Avinu said he's not going to take the chut v'atzrech now. So Gemara says, as a reward for making the Kiddush Hashem, that he refused to take anything. So because he said it's not going to take chut, so Zachor Banav L'chut Shal Tcheles, we were zechet to the mitzvah of tzitzis. And because he said he's not going to take Sroch now, we were zechet to the Ritzuas of the Tefillin. Because in the days of Avraham Avinu, they didn't have shoelaces, strings like we have. They used to have shoe straps that were mamish, similar to the sandal shel chalitza, has shoe straps that are mamish similar to the ritzuas of the tefillin. So the Rosh in Perek Mitzvah Chalitza has a machlokes harishonim. So some rishonim say when you put on the special sandal shel chalitza, it has to be or behemah tahira. Rabbeinu Tam says it has to be. The Gemara says a machlekes hatanaim, but it has to be leather. All kol mida demegin is enough, and we paskin you need leather. Same thing on Tisha B'Av and on Yom Kippur and on Shiva. The din of nevis al sandal only called the sandal if it's shalor. That's how we paskin. and the shoe has to be tight on the right foot of the yavam. The yavam has to take it off. So many Rishayim hold that you have to have a Kesher Shal Kayama on the Sandal Shal Chalitza, and Yivama has to untie it. And other Rishayim say, who says you need a Kesher Shal Kayama? As long as it holds. So that in Shulchan Aruch, they have the minigas that you do both. You make a Kesher, Agabi Kesher, and then you make an Aniva on top of the Kesher. Which doesn't really make any sense. The Bi'ur Agro always gives you all the Marmukaimus. For every line in the Shulchan Aruch, the Be'er HaGoyle gives you the Marmukaimus, the general Marimokim for the Sif, and the Be'er HaGroa was written in such a way, assuming that you're reading the Be'er HaGoyle, and he's adding on, so he adds on Marimokimus for every phrase, every word in the Shulchan Aruch. So the Be'er HaGroa, and that Simen, when it says in Hilchas Chalitza, you have to make a Kesha, a Gabi Kesha, make an Aniva on top of the Kesha in order to satisfy both opinions. It does make sense. Once you have a Kesher Agabi Kesher, what do you need the Aniva for? You can say it's not necessary to have a Kesher Agabi Kesher, once you have it already. What do you gain by making an Aniva? So in Aramaic, a Kesher is called Chumarto. So the Vilna Gaon writes, jokingly, he gives you what's the Marmokam for this, Chumarto de Chumarto. A Chumar on top of a Chumar. Chumarto de Chumarto. So there are four different areas where we talk about a Kesher Shal Kayama. By Shabbos, the Mishnah says, you're not chayv unless it's Kesher Shal Kayama. The Gemara says in the last perek in Erevin, perek ha-maitzei tefillin, a person is walking in the street on Shabbos, there is no Erev, and he sees that there's a pair of tefillin sitting in the garbage. Someone threw the tefillin in the garbage. And he thinks that they're kosher tefillin. So if he doesn't hurry up, the garbage collector is going to collect all the goyish, the garbage collector is going to come take it and incinerate everything. They're going to burn it. So Mishum HaTzolos Kisra HaKodesh, you want to save the pair of tefillin. So the Mishnah says you're permitted to put either one pair at a time or two pairs at a time, two shalyat, two shal roshes. That's a machlokes HaTanaim. Are you allowed a pair? Are you only allowed to wear zug zug? One shalyat, one shal rosh at a time. It's a few pairs of tefillin in the garbage. He puts on one pair, he walks home, takes it off, he puts it on, then he runs outside, he puts on another pair. Or is he allowed to put on two shalyats and two shalroshes? So that's a discussion in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, what if the tefillin have ritzuas, but the ritzuas are not tied? So in order to wear the tefillin, it's only called levisha. It's no prohibition of chitzah. If you wear the tefillin the same way it's normally worn on the weekdays. So if it doesn't have any kesher, so that's not the normal way to wear tefillin. So the Gemara discusses, are you permitted to make the kesher on Shabbos? So the Gemara says, maybe you'll make an aniva. Maybe aniva is mutter on Shabbos. There's no isa derais an aniva. Maybe you make an aniva. The Gemara says, there's a machlek sabuta in the Rabbanan where the aniva has a status of kesher shal kayama for Shabbos purposes. So the Gemara says, according to Rabbuda, that aniva is a malach of kosher on Shabbos, because it's also considered a kesher shal kayama, then it will be kosher for tefillin as well. But if you hold the way we paskan la halacha, that aniva is called the kesher sheina shal kayama on Shabbos, then it's not kosher for tefillin either. So the Gemara seems to say explicitly that for the kesher shal tefillin, has to be a kesher shal kayama. Has to be a kesher shal kayama. So the din, the pashtus says for tzitzis also. Pashtus says has to be kesher shal kayama. The din shal kayama is a din in kol ha-tara kula. That's by definition. Kesher is only called a kesher if it's shal kayama. On Shabbos, there's probably an additional din. The Mishnah in Shabbos says, Kalois malocha b'Shabbos, malachta miskayemis b'Shabbos. Mishnah is talking about all the lamates of his malachas. Let's say bone. So if you make a binyan, mishal kayama, that's malocha deraisa. If you make oil aroi, that's only awesome in the rabban. Aroi is awesome in the rabban. It's a question whether tzaveya has to be shal kayama. So the pashtas we assume that has to be shal kayama. The chayodom wanted to bring a raya that tzaveya doesn't need shal kayama, and Avdenezer dingsach with him. He thinks that it's not correct. All the lamatas malachas have to be all the malachas. That's a din kolos malacha b'shabes malach the miskayemis b'shabes has to be shal kayama. It could well be that on Shabbos, there are two dinim of kesher shal kayama. There's one din, that's how Rav Soloveitchik said b'shem his father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. Let's see, the Mishnah, there are 24 prokem in Mishnah Shabbos, so the whole perek, Eluk Shorim. So in Eluk Shorim, it says sometimes there's an isa deraisa to make a kesher, sometimes there's an isa derabanan, and sometimes it's muta legamrei. What are the three cases? So Rashi learns pshat in the Mishnah, if it's shal kayama, then it's a malocha of kosher min haTorah. If it's a little bit shal kayama, but not too much, then it's a rasam in the Rabbanan. If it's a roi, and they use the terminology of Rav Moshe Feinstein, and the truth is, if it's a roi, the roi, if it's ver roi, then it's mutar even in the Rabbanan. So let's say a person ties a kesher, and he plans to leave it indefinitely. He's going to leave the kesher for half a year. So that's a kesher shal kayama. If he makes a kesher and he plans to leave it for a week, that's a kesher she'ena shal kayama. That's also in the Rabbanan. But if he makes a double knot that he plans to untie ba'oso yom, so that's aroi daroi, so that's even mutam in the Rabbanan. That's how Rashi seems to learn the Mishnah. The Rambam learns the Mishnah like the Rif, a different shot. That in order to be chay v'shem kosher, there are two conditions that have to be met. First of all, it has to be a kesher ha'umnim, fancy kesher, like kesher ha'saponim in the saponim are the people who work on a sfina, on a boat. So they know how to make fancy knots. Kesher hagamolim, those who ride on camels and they deliver merchandise. So they have, they know how to make a special fancy, they need a fancier knot than stam a plain kesher. So the Rambam follows the rift that you need two conditions in order to be deraisa. Number one, that kesher has to be kesher ha'omnim, and number two has to be shel kayama, plan to leave it for a long time. So if you have A without B, a B without A, then it's going to be awesome at the Rabbanan. If you have neither, it's neither a kesher ha'omnim, nor does he plan to leave it for a long period of time, then it's mutar even at the Rabbanan. That's how the Rambam and the Rif understood the Mishnah. So, Rabbi Nezer has a tshuva in Hilchas Tefillin. There's a common practice. If someone doesn't have a pair of tefillin, he borrows someone else's. And let's say the tefillin is too big for his head. It's going to be hanging down, or it's too small. So you redo, you make over the kesher, that it should fit your head. And then when you finish davening, you take off the tefillin, you change it back. So that's a shaila. He made a kesher shena shal kayama. And the Gemara said beferish in the last perik and erevin that in order, if you hold aniva, if you hold like a buta, that aniva is a kesher shal kayama, and therefore you chayv on Shabbos. Then the Gemara said that aniva would be kosher for tefillin. If you hold like the chachamim that it's a kesher shena shal kayama, that's how we pask an aniva is a kesher shena shal kayama, then you wouldn't be chayv on Shabbos. So the Gemara seems to make an equation between kesher shal kayama for the purposes of tefillin as well as for the purposes of Shabbos. So that's the shaila. If I borrow your tefillin and I make over the kesher, just I daven for an hour and a half, then I take off the tefillin, I change it, I put it back to the size that it was originally. So I only made over the kesher for an hour and a half. So it's a kesher shena shel kayam. So how are you yotze? So the Rav Nezer Taka says it's only good if you plan to leave the kesher for 24 hours. Has to be kesher shel kayam. The difficulty is the shear 24 hours, it's a shear de rabbana. According to Rashi, if it's the three dinim in the Mishnah, sometimes kosher is anisa de raisa, sometimes pata avalasar with the rabbanan, and sometimes muta legamre. So if it's shel kayam, you plan to leave the kesher indefinitely, and the oyelan plan to leave the kesher for 6 months, that's shel kayam. If it's aroi, you only plan to leave it for a week, then it's a nutshell, it's aroi, so it's a malachim adirabonim. But if it's aroi, it's very aroi, I plan to untie it within 24 hours, then it's mutter. So that shear of 24 hours, that's a shear of benegeto adin derabonim. What's the difference between aroi and aroi daroi? If it's less than 24 hours, also latir bosayom, then it's aroi daroi. How can you use that shear to be machsha the tefillin on the level of the rice I made over the kesher, so I should leave the kesher for 24 hours, and then before you put on the tefillin tomorrow morning, 24 hours later, you'll redo the kesher and leave it there indefinitely until you lend it to someone else. How can you use the shear 24 hours? That's a shear the rabbana. How is that? That's a difficult. And the meaning never was like that. The meaning was not like the Avni Nezer said that when you borrow someone else's tefillin, you make over the kesher, you should leave it for 24 hours. The meaning always was that you make after you finish davening, you make the kesher back the way it was before, and you give it back to the person. So it didn't last for 24 hours. So Moshe Soloveitchik thought that there were two dinim in kesher shel kayama. One is a din called the tarkula in kesher, the tzur is hakesher, has to be kesher shel kayama, and that's a machlekes by the Raniva. The tzuris hakesher of aniva machlekes abuna and the rabbanan in the Mishnah, whether the tzuris hakesher of aniva has the status of kesher shal kayama on that. Then there's another din. There's not a din in kol haTorakula. That's just a din in Hilchos Shabbos that you have to plan to leave it there indefinitely or six months or something like that. But that's only a din in Hilchos Shabbos. That's because Shabbos, the melechah Shabbos require melechas machsheves, has to be a choshev a melocha. It has to be kolos malacha b'shabbos and malach miskayemes b'shabbos. Has to be shel kayama. Take for example a kosev. Sab shel kayama is a din in get because of the sefer kris a din in sefer Torah. You have to have a ksav shel kayama. If I write in ink, that's going to disappear in a short period of time. So the get, even though when I give the get to the isha, she can read it, but since it's going to disappear in a couple of hours, so it's not ksav shel kayama, it's a din ksav and kol atar kul. But then in Hilchos Shabbos is an added din that has to be malach to miskayam. Is where do you have enough kamina? So take for example, the Tosus in Gittin says that in order for the get to be kosher, has to be ksav shel kayama. The ink has to be shel kayama. If the ink is going to be disappearing ink after a couple of hours, it's not acceptable. And the background upon which you're writing also has to be shel kayama. Let's say you write a get, Mishnah says, ala shel zayis. You write on the leaf of an olive tree. So the Mishnah says that that's good. So the Tosfos quotes a Tosefta, but if you write on an onion peel or something like that, that's going to crumble up. It's going to disappear in a short period of time. That's also no good for get. And Hilchos Shabbos also has to be ksav shel kayama, both mitzad the ink and mitzad the background on which you're writing. So that's what Tosfos says, that get, you need ksav shel kayama, same in Shabbos, and it has to be shel kayama, both mitzad the ink as well as mitzad the background on which you're writing. And the Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos writes like that, it has to be shel kayama mitzad the ink as well as mitzad the background. Hilchos Gittin, he didn't quote the Tosefta. So the Kesef Mishnah, I think the Magen Mishnah writes, why didn't the Rama quote the Tosefta that Tosis quoted? That by get, you have to write it on a background that's going to be shel kayama. So he says, since the Bavli didn't quote the Tosefta, so the Rambam felt that we don't paskin like that. That's very difficult justification. The Rambam is the one who quotes Yerushalmis and Toseftas, he quotes Sifreis and so on. He quotes more outside sources than the Bavli has ever heard of. That's a difficult word. But the Magen Mishnah understood the Rambam like that, that in Hilchos Gittin, he only requires it should be shel kayama mitzad the ink. You don't require mitzad the background. But in Hilchos Shabbos you need that it should be both ksav shel kayama and mitzad the ink, as well as the background. What's the bir hadover? So the din in ksav shel kayama by ksiva, that's a din in kol atar kula. Whenever there's a din of ksiva, it has to be ksav shel kayama. But that's only mitzad the ink. That you need the background should be shel kayama also. That's only a din in Hilchos Shabbos because of malachas parshevis. Malachim is kayamis b'shabbos. That din that Magen Mishnah understood in the Rambam, Pashtus is that it's not so. But the Magen Mishnah understood in the Rambam that din of shel kayama, that's only a din of Hilchos Shabbos, that doesn't apply to ksiva and kol atar kula. So that's how Rav Moshe Soloveitchik understood over here by kesher. The kesher and kol atar kula, kesher has to be shel kayama. So you would say by tzitzis has to be shel kesher shel kayama. And sandal shel chalitza, according to Hefer the Rishayim, you need a kesher shel kayama. And by Shabbos has to be kesher. That means the din kol atarah kula and the kesher has to be shel kayama. Is only regarding the tzuris hakesher. And Hilchos Shabbos, there's an additional din that should be shel kayama. You should plan to leave it indefinitely. You plan to leave it for a long, long period of time, 6 months or so. So that's only a din in Hilchos Shabbos. That din doesn't carry over to tefillin. That's where Moshe Soloveitchik comes. That din does not carry over to tefillin. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein has this he says we should extrapolate from kosher to all the other malachas as well, that there are three categories. All the malachas have to be malachim miskayemes, has to be shel kayama, and if you do it aroy, it'll only be the rabban. If it's aroy, then it's mutayif mid rabban. So Rabbi Moshe Feinstein has, and it's true, is let's say a woman puts on powder on her cheeks, let's say her cheeks at her whatever. It doesn't look good, so she puts on white powder so everything looks better. The white powder is not going to last too long because the pores in the skin, the oil is going to come out through the pores in the skin, and the white powder is going to disappear within an hour or so. So Rav Moshe considers that aroy daroy. So he holds that this adin in all the malachas. Whenever it's aroy daroy, it's even mutter mid rabbanim. The Ramah in Hilchos Kosher quotes from what we call the Shilti Gibur. He calls it the Hagos Alfasi. printed on the side of the rift, the margin of the rift. So we call it the Shulta Gibbon. He calls it Hagos Alfasi. He has a chumrah that you shouldn't tie a kesher, Al-Gabi kesher, even if you plan to untie it on the same day. What is that chumrah all about? So the Shulta Gibbon explains it based on the Rambam Shita. The Sfardim, the Chidor writes that the Sfardim never accepted this, the Shari Tshuva quotes the Chidon, the Birkei Yosef, Sfardim never accepted this chumrah. When they have a gartel, they would tie a knot in the gartel because of keshal gabi kesha, because they plan to untie it. Bosayom, they never had this chumrah. But the Ramo has such a chumrah. A lot of times women have dresses where they make double knots and they plan to untie it on the same day. So the Ramo has a chumrah. Let's say shoelaces. So the whole thing, Mikra, then the whole thing is only a chumrah. But let's say by little babies, if you're not going to make a double knot, you're going to be, the babies are always going to untie the shoelaces. You're going to be tying the shoelaces 100 times in a day. So the Rama says if it's a big shas hatchak, we make them. But let's say an adult, sometimes you have shoelaces that are slippery, they're very smooth and slippery, they're going to keep on untying. And of course, if that's, the Rama says it's only a chumrah from the Shulta Gibbayim, it's not the Raisa for sure, it's probably not even the Rabbanan, it's only a minik, the hachmer like this. So if it's too much of a tircha, you forget it. So what is this meaning based on? So the Shulta Gibbayim himself gives the following explanation. The Chumrah is based on the Rambam following the Rif, that in order to be kosher minator, you have to have two conditions. It should be kesher shal kayama, and it should be kesher ha'umnim. Shal kayama means plan to leave it a long time, and kesher ha'umnim. So, and if you have one, if you have A without B, or B without A, then it's also minarabon. Lacking both of the conditions, it's neither kesher shalumnim, nor is it going to last for too long a period of time. But lacking both conditions, A and B, then it's even mutam rabban. So the Shulta Gibbayim says, we are not sure exactly what constitutes a kesher ha'umnim. So whenever you make a kesher al-gabi kesher, we should be concerned maybe that's a kesher shalumnim. A kesher shalumnim, even if it's not shal kayam, is going to be us. According to the Rambam and the Rif, that's the way they read the Mishnah. I find it very hard to understand that. What do you mean? You don't have to go to any new school to know how to make a knot on top of a knot. How's that kesher umnim? Kesher agamolim, kesher hasaponim. They have to teach you how to make the kesher agamolim, a kesher hasaponim, just to make a knot on top of another knot. That doesn't need any chokhmah at all. So Rav Soloveitchik said in the name of his father, he gave a different biur in the chumrah of the Shulta Gibbayim. Namely, that there is a long tesis in Yuma. It goes from, I think it's Lamed Vav Amad Beis to Lamed Zayin Amad Aleph, or something like that. Lamed Zayin Amad Beis to Lamed Ches Amad Aleph goes a long tesis. They have a lot to say. So they talk a lot about the Dov Shein and Biskavein in Shabbos, and they call it Torah Kula, and Malach Hashem Tzvicha Gufa. So Tesis points out Reb Shibim, the Tan Reb Shimon Bar Yochai holds that Dov Shein Miskaven is Mutar and Kol HaTorah Kula. So if you hold Mutar and Kol HaTorah Kula, it's Mutar on Shabbos also. But Malach Hashem Tzvicha LeGufa is a din that only applies to Hilchas Shabbos and Hilchas Yontif. It doesn't even apply to Avodas HaKarka and Shemitah. There's a Tosfos in Ma'id Kot, in the first paragraph, the Tosfos proves from the Gemara that even though in Shnas HaShemitah, certain malachas akarka arosa. You don't prohibit all the 39 obvious malachas, but some of them are aser in Eretz Yisrael and Shnas HaShemitah. But the klal of malachas shein tzvicha legufa doesn't apply here. Malachas shein tzvicha legufa is only because malachas Shabbos is compared to Asiyas HaMishkan. And there it's... So we, and according to the way Tosfos understands, malachas shein tzvicha legufa means what was the purpose of doing the malachas and the mishkan. So if you do a malacha today for the same purpose, a similar purpose that was done in the mishkan, then it's a malacha atzvicha legufa for the chefetz shel malacha. But the idea that the malachas are compared to the mishkan, that's only malachas on Shabbos Yom Tov. That has nothing to do with malachas hakarka and shnas hashmita. So there in shmita there is no din of ein tzvicha legufa. It's only Shabbos and Yom Tov. So Tosfos says, even though Reb Shimon holds Melacha Shein Tzvicha Legufa is Mutam in HaTorah on Shabbos, but they asked it mid the Rabbanan. Dabish had his cabin his mutter on Shabbos. They didn't ask him the Rabban. His mutter and Atara, but they asked him the Rabban. Why? Why is the difference between Dabish and his cabin and Malachish and Tzvichel Gufa? So the Tosfos doesn't really ask that question, but based on what they answer on a similar related question, so Ramosha Zolovetchik can explain. Because Dabish and his cabin is a din and call it Tarkul, it's mutter. So why should the Chacham prohibit it? It's mutter, it's mutter. But Malachish and Tzvichel Gufa, the Tosfos says it doesn't even apply to Malachish HaKarka of Shnas HaShmit, it only applies to Shabbos. Call it Tarkul, there is no Kula. So Taisus Lashon is Kedei LaHashver Shabbos L'Shar Kol HaTorah Kula. That's why they introduced Isurim D'Rabbana. That Shabbos, whatever is only a Kula Nilchol Shabbos, you shouldn't use that Kula. Dov Shalim's Kamen is a Kula and Kol HaTorah Kula. That's not called you didn't do the Maisa. It's Mutter. But Malachah Shein Tzvichel Gufa is only a Kula and Nilchol Shabbos. So Kedei LaHashver Shabbos L'Shar Kol HaTorah Kula. They asked. That's why Moshe Soloveitchik Lushitase. He thought, not like David Nez, he thought when you borrow someone else's tefillin, you don't have to leave the kesher. You had to redo the kesher. You don't have to leave the kesher for 24 hours. Like many were machmer for this David Nez. So he thought that it wasn't correct. You don't have to. The minig never was like that. You don't have to. Because that's only a din in Hilchos Shabbos. There's a din. Suras HaKesher has to. Kosher and Kol HaTorah Kula has to be Kesher Shal Kayama, means the Tzuras HaKesher should be Kesher Shal Kayama, the exclusion of Aniva. But the other din of Kesher Shal Kayama, you have to plan to leave it indefinitely after 6 months or something like that, that's only a din in Hilchos Shabbos. So if you're going to make a Kesher, I've got to be Kesher, that's a Tzuras HaKesher of a Kesher Shal Kayama, and you plan to take it out within the same day, so that's Mutam and Ater, but that's only a Heter in Hilchos Shabbos. That definition of Eino Shel Kayama Aroi, that's only Hilchos Shabbos because it lacks Malachas Masheves. So Kedei LaHashver Shabbos L'Shar Kol HaTorah Kula, then we say that if the Tzuras HaKesher is Shel Kayama, even though your intention is only to leave it for a short period of time, that's also from the Rabbah. That's why Moshe Soloveitchik gave the Hesber in the Chumrah of the Shulta Gemara. Shulta Gemara himself doesn't say that Hesber. He says that the minig is based on being choshish for the Rambam and the Ripshita, that maybe a kesher gabi kesher is a kesher ha'umnim, and according to them, that's what the Mishnah says. If you have kesher ha'umnim, even though it's not shal kayama, it's also with the Rambam. If you have A without B, a B without A. So my Soloveitchik said there's different hesbik. The lahash for Shabbos, the shar kol haTorah kula. In Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah quotes that the only time you need a kesher, gabi kesher, is if you tie together two different strings. That's, I take one string and I make a knot at the end of the string. A lot of people make a knot at the end of the chut dehatzitzis to prevent it from unraveling. So if you make such a knot on Shabbos, the Ramah says that's a kesher shal kayama, that's not going to untie. If you have two different strings and you tie them only one kesher, so it's going to fall apart. It's mamish nothing. You have to, if two different strings make a kesher, agabi kesher, then it's called the kesher shal kayama. So the Avnei Nezer did work on all the malachas. So those malachas that he completed, he put in the Eglei Tal, the first 11 malachas or so, through Gozes. But after Gozes, he only has the haskola of all the malachas. They're very good. The haskolas are very good. That's in the Avnei Nezer. He has quite a few pieces on each one of the malachas. So he raises a possibility that maybe if you take a string and you make a knot at the end, it's going to be kesher shal kayama. Maybe that's not in malacha deraisa, though. Maybe the definition of kosher is I'm mechabit two different things together by making a kesher. If I just have one string, it is one string. That knot in the end, one kesher, is going to be shal kayama. But maybe by definition, kosher as a malacha on Shabbos only means if mechabit two separate things together by making a kesher. Not if you make a kesher without being mechabit anything. So it tries to bring rice one way or the other, whether that's really a malacha deraisa or not. So that's kosher and matir. Yeah, matir. Matir is only a malacha. Al pi pashan matir. Amanos liksha. Kosher is the malacha. If you're matar manas likshar, that's also malach. You have a few like that. Moichik is only malach. Moichik amanas lichtoiv. Or karea amanas litvar. Karea amanas litvar. So there's a toisis in Masech HaShabbos. I think it's Hay Gimel on the base, or Hay Dalan on the base. The Gemara says, Zoymer b'tzorach le'etzim, the farmer sometimes break off branches from the tree that the tree should be able to grow better. If it has too many branches, it's not going to grow well. So sometimes if you prune the tree, you take off the branches that don't belong, it's going to grow better. So Zomir is a tolda of Notea, because by breaking off the branches the right way, it'll be growing better. Zomir b'tzorach le'etzim, if you plan to use the branches that you broke off, chayv shtayim, not only are you chayv mishum Notea, Zomir, pruning the tree is a tolda of Notea, because it's going to cause the tree to grow better. So, but if he plans to use the wood, then he's also chayv mishum kotzer. Shouldn't think that kotzer is only on the edible food. It's even on the branches. But the Gemara says, Zayma v'tzorach le'etzim, only if he plans to use the wood. If he doesn't plan to use the wood, it sounds like Gemara that you're not chayv shtayim. Why not? So Tosfos says you shouldn't think that the Gemara only means that, Gemara only makes that statement if you assume that din is like Rav Shimon, the Malacha Shein Tzvicha L'Gufa is only the Rabbanon. So if you're kotzer, if you break off, if you pull off apples from the tree, you don't plan to use them. If you break off branches, you don't plan to use them. It's a malacha shein tzvicha l'gufa. Let's say you just need exercise, or he's practicing. He's going to go work on a farm next year. So he wants to practice on Shabbos. He practices by breaking off branches and pulling off things from the tree. He's going to throw everything in the garbage. He's not going to use what he pulls off in the tree. So that's a malacha shein tzvicha l'gufa. So Tosfos says you shouldn't think that the only reason why the Gemara says Zayma v'tzorach le'etzim chayv shtayim, because if he's not tzorach le'etzim, it'll be a malacha shein tzvicha l'gufa. And if you hold like Reb Shimon, most of the Rishonim pass like Reb Shimon. The Rambam passes like Reb Yehuda. Rambam the Balamor pass like Reb Yehuda. The malacha shein tzvicha l'gufa is an isa derais. Most of the Rishonim hold that, so the ain't tzvicha l'gufa is only an isa derabbanan. So Tosfos says you shouldn't think that the Gemara added on Zayma v'tzorach le'etzim because they're talking within Reb Shimon. This says not true. Even if you hold like Reb Yehuda, that Malacha Shein Tzvicha L'Gufa is an Isa Deraisa, but it's not called Kotzer unless you plan to use the logs. If you pluck off apples, that's the pears that grow on the tree. But if you break them up branches, that's the tree itself. Break them up branches. It's only called Zaymer. It's only called Kotzer if you plan to use the branch. If you don't plan to, says Bechal, it's not called Kotzer at all. That's Tosfos Achidush, the mother of Rishonim disagree. They say no, that the Gemara said, Zayma v'tzorach le'etzim, because we pass on like Reb Shimon. If it would have been Ein Tzorach le'etzim, so it would have been a Melacha Shein Tzvicha L'Gufa, would only be there above. But Tosfos holds it, even if you hold like Reb Yehuda. So then Tosfos gives other Misholim, and they say the same is true, Korea has to be Amanas Litvar, and Moichik has to be Amanas Lichtov. So if you're going to be mechik, not amanas lichtov, then we assume it's mekalkel. So then you're not chayev. Or let's say he's going to be korea shel amanas lichtov, it'll be mekalkel, then you're potter. But Tosfos doesn't say because of mekalkel. Tosfos gave a mashal from kotzer. Kotzira should really only apply to the food part. If you break up branches, it shouldn't really be kotzer. But if he's zaymer b'tzorach le'etzim, he's breaking off branches in place to use the branches, then it has to din like a pri. So the Tosfos doesn't mean because of mekalkel. So Tosfos says the same is true kareh shalom anas litvar and mechek shalom anas lichta. They don't say it's potter because it should be because it's mekalkel and call him mekalkel and p'turim. Mekalkel and p'turim because the pasuk says you need malachas mashevis on Shabbos. Tosfos seems to say even if it's not mekalkel. Even if it's not mekalkel. Take, for example, the Prima Gaudim talks about this. The Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Prima Gaudim on discussion. Rav Soloveitchik would speak about this mashal. Somebody has a Rembrandt, and it's worth $1 million. Then someone else comes up, and he signs his name on the bottom, Herschel Schechter. It's not worth $1 million anymore. Would he write his name on the bottom? So now that they get an expert to erase Herschel Schechter's name, and now it's back again, it's a Rembrandt. So it's Moichek Shaloy Amanas Lichtoy, but it's Misaken. He improved the whole situation. Now it's worth again $1 million because it's a Rembrandt. So is that correct? That the one who writes his name on the Rembrandt and is ruining it, that's called Mekalkel, and the one who erases it, that's called Misaken. That's a question. Is that correct? So the Mishnah Brura quotes, I think, the Prima Gadol, who says like that, that sometimes Kosev is Mekalkel, if your name doesn't belong there, and sometimes the Mechik is the Misaken. So Eshik thought that that's not correct. This is very questionable. He thought that Ksiva is always called Misaken. Even by signing your name, you ruin the whole Rembrandt, the Arum and Arum, but Ksiva by definition is tikkun. You wrote words, and when you erase the words, even though under these circumstances you're being misaken by erasing the words, the chika by definition is always called mekalkel, and it's always mechik shalal manas lichtoiv is always called mekalkel. But Tosis doesn't say that. Tosis says mechik shalal manas lichtoiv by definition it's not mechika. Mechika means achana leksiva. Achana leksiva. Let's say, for example, there's a Tosefta that the Rosh quotes, the Rishani quote, if you have a Shaiva Shalgabi HaPinkos, the person has a wax candle and the wax drips on a piece of parchment or a piece of paper. So Kozman, the wax is on the piece of parchment, piece of paper. You can't write over there. If you take a knife and you scrape off the wax, you're not being Moichek any Oisius. Nothing is written there. But you are unable to write on the paper, on the parchment, because of the wax. If you remove all of the wax, now you are able, that's a achana leksiva. So achana leksiva is the definition of the maloche of mechek. So mechek, shalom, manas lichtav, is not only pata because he's mekalkel, it's pata because by definition, it's not a achana leksiva. That's what Tosis seems to say. And the same thing, korea, shalom, manas litvar, that Tosis gives that as a mashal also. Korea, shalom, manas litvar, is not only pata because it's mekalkel, it's pata because the definition of korea means achana leksiva. Achana leksiva. Korea means achana letfira. Achana letfira. So if you korea shalom anas litvar, it shouldn't be an iser korea at all. So there, Rabbi Kivega has a hakasha on Tosis, that there's a Gemara Makkos. They made a shirt, and they made pajamas or a t-shirt, whatever, and it's cloth all around, and they didn't leave room for the neck, so they take scissors and they cut a hole in the neck. So that's korea shalei amanas litvar. He's cutting it in order to have a place to stick his head through. So the Gemara says that yechayiv, and the Pashto says yechayiv mishum korea, even not shalei amanas litvar. The only reason why I need amanas litvar, because otherwise it'll be Korea Shalom Aslik for his Mekalka, but over here it's Misaken. He has to be able to stick his head through the hole on top. He has to have a hole, he has to have two holes on the side to put his arms out. He has to have a hole on top to put his neck out. So the Gemara there in the beginning of Makkos, the first paragraph of Makkos, seems to say that the Korea Shalom Aslik for is sometimes Misaken, and then you will be Chayiv. So that's Rabbi Kivega's Kasha and Tosis. So the Tosis and Shabbos, I think, either Ayin Gimel Amud Beis or Ayin Daled Amud Beis, Tosis sounds like they're saying not so. Tosis sounds like they're saying that the definition of Melocha Kareya is Achona Leksiva. That's what it would appear so from that Tosefta. Shaiva Shagabi HaPinkas. And you scrape off all of the wax, you enabled one to write there, so that's called mechik. That's called mechik, even though you're not destroying any ksav. The Ramo has a chumrah. Let's say you have icing on a cake, and it says good Shabbos. So the Ramo has a chumrah that's a malacha. If you're going to cut, if you got in between the letters and didn't destroy any letter, that's not mechik. But if you cut the letters and you ruin them, so the Rama has a chumrah that you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. Ice mekalkel, you're just doing mechek shalom anas lichta. So So the Mishnah says, "Kol makalkalim p'turim patur avalasa." To do mechike shalom and aslichta would be an isa de rabbanim, because kol makalkalim p'turim means patur avalasa. So that's questionable. That's a chumrah from the Or Zeruah, that you shouldn't cut into the letters because of mechik. But if you say the definition of mechik means achana l'ksiva, so here you're not doing a achana l'ksiva. By cutting the letters on the birthday cake or the Shabbos cake, whatever, you don't make it easier to do ksiva. You're just destroying ksav. So it sounds like there are two different definitions of mechik. One is you're not allowed to destroy ksav, and one is to do hachana l'ksiva. It's a question. Well, let's say a person takes a snapshot, he takes a photograph, so he makes a negative. So someone will have to take the negative and then develop a photograph from that. So it could well be that that snapping the photograph is achana l'ksiva. That's an indispensable step in making the negative, which will be indispensable in order to make the photograph. If you have a Polaroid camera, you take a picture, so right away it prints out a picture, so that's ksiva. But if it just makes marks on the film, and then you have to make a negative out of that, and then you can make a photograph out of that. So it could be that snapping the photograph is not really a malocha of ksiva. There's no ksiva now, but it's a achana l'ksiva. So it could be that would be called mechik. It sounds a little funny. You snap a photograph, that's a malocha mechik. Could be that is so. The Rishonim quote a Tosefta that tofer is not only violated if you take two pieces of cloth and you stitch them together, you blend them in to be one. If you take two pieces of paper and you glue them together, that's also tofer. So let's say you have an envelope and you lick the glue on the back of the flap and you close the envelope, so you glue together two pieces of paper, that would be tofer. Or if you have an envelope that was glued closed, and then you separate the flap from the back carefully, that'll be korea. That'll be a malacha of korea. So that's a discussion in the Chacham Tzvi and later Poskim. If let's say you have an envelope that's sealed and you open it, you did korea. Is that the malacha tzricha l'gufa? You're not using the kara. That's like chorecha guma, v'ein sorach ela l'afara. Over here, you made a kara, but you're not going to use the kriya. You opened up the envelope. But that's a discussion with that. It's korea shalom, manas litvar. He's not going to be tayfred again. So that's a discussion. Is that called a tzvicha l'gufa or not? The korban nesanol is by Rabbi Nesanol Vail Heoris on the bottom of the Rosh. Amasecha Shabbos. So the Korban Nesanol has chiddush that if you have you diaper a baby and you use a diaper pin, and by using the diaper pin, which is made from metal, you unmechabit together the cloth from the back of the diaper with the cloth in the front of the diaper. So that's a malocha of tofer. That's a malocha of tofer. Or let's say a person has a jacket that's torn somewhere. A woman has a dress and it's a little torn. So you take, or the hem fell apart, so you take diaper pins and you hold together that part of the cloth that it shouldn't hang over. So the Korban Nesanol thinks that that's a violation of tofer. Moshe Feinstein, it's not Shel Kayama, probably not going to be there, I say. He doesn't plan to leave that, he's going to leave it till after Shabbos. But L'chaira, that should be Tfira Shena Shel Kayama, that should be Osam and the Rabban. Moshe Dingzach with that, and he thinks that that's not called Tfira by definition. Tfira is if you have two pieces of cloth and you take a cloth piece of thread, so the cloth thread blends in with the two pieces of cloth, it's cloth and cloth and cloth. It blends into you mechaber two pieces of cloth with a cloth thread. But if you mechaber together the back of the diaper with the front of the diaper, that both are made from cloth, and you put in a metal diaper pin, So the metal pin doesn't blend in with the cloth and the cloth. Rav Moshe thought that that's enough reason to say that there's no malacha of tefira here. Others are surprised that Rav Moshe was prepared to be mekel on a real chashash malacha just based on his svara, but it's a stark svara that by definition, you see, if you glue together two pieces of paper, so that's the two pieces of paper become one. But if you use a metal diaper pin to be mechaber together the two parts of the diaper, the front and the back of the diaper, that doesn't blend in to be one. So maybe by definition, that's not called tefira. That's Rav Moshe's argument. By definition, it's not called tefira. Yeah. Korea on let's say you have a book, and when they bound the book, they spilled a little extra glue, and the pages on the outside of the book of the sefer are glued together. So if you're going to separate the pages, that's a shaila of Korea. That's a shaila Korea, because the two pages were glued together, like the flap of the envelope was glued together with the bottom of the envelope. And now you're separating the two together. So that's a shaila of Korea. That's a question of Korea, yeah. There is a shaila years, in the early years, when Rav Soloveitchik gave shiurim on Masechah Shabbos, he suggested that it should be prohibited to use a zipper. Let's say you have trousers with a zipper on Shabbos. So he thought you should be machmer to use dafka. Years ago, the trousers had buttons in the front. They didn't have zippers. So he thought that maybe a zipper is a violation of korea, of tofer, because you're attaching together the two pieces of cloth on the right side and the left side, and you use a zipper in the middle. So that should be a chashash of korea. Mistamet kera shena shel kayama. So if you do Kareya Shel Kayama, it'll be Anisa Deraisa. If you do Kera Tofer, if you do Tfira Shel Kayama, that'll be Deraisa. If you do Aroi, it'll be Derabam. It's Aroi Daroi. If you use our Moshe Feinstein's categories of thought, if it's Aroi Daroi, then it's even Mutim Rabam. So we know people have to open up the zipper on their clothing a few times a day. So maybe that's considered aroi daroi, maybe that would be mutta. But let's say you have a Shabbos Dikatalis, and you have it in a talis ekel, and you have some Matzoi Shabbos last week, you zip close, you use the zipper to close the talis ekel. So it was closed like this for a whole week. Then on Shabbos you got to open it up. That's not aroi daroi. That was sitting 6 days from Matzoi Shabbos till Shabbos morning, a week later. So maybe there's room over there to be machmer, that opening up the zipper should be korea on Shabbos, because it wasn't in gansan aroi daroi.
Yeah, it's a different material than the two pieces of cloth you're putting together. So right. According to Reb Moshe, it would be okay still.
Right. That's a shaila. What about Velcro? It's the cloth is holding on to the cloth. There's more room to be machmer Velcro than on, I think the poskim would make on the Velcro. Maybe because they also feel that it's aroi daroi. But, let's say a lot of times you have a lining in a raincoat. So you have a winter coat, and in the winter when it's really cold, so you zip in the lining, and you haven't worn the coat in a while. So on Shabbos, it's a warm day on Shabbos. You want to take out the lining, or you want to put in the lining. You have to wear the raincoat. You want to put in the lining because it's chilly on Shabbos. So if you plan to zip in the lining and to leave it there for a couple of days, that could be that that's more chomer than some. If you hold from this svara lahachmer by trousers with a zipper, and the only heter is because it's aroi daroi, so then if you're putting in, taking out the lining into a raincoat, or you're putting on the couch covers. So for a whole week, for months, there was a cover on the couch. And now you want to take off the cover, so you have to unzip everything. So it could be it was sitting like that for a few months. Now you're going to take it off. So that could be a shaila of Korea, because it was there for a long time. You can't say that it's aroi daroi. These are shailas. These are shailas, yeah. Korea, I remember when I was in high school, we were learning the Gemara in Bava Kamma that Mishum Kovar Abrius, we are Mater Isurim Derabbanan. The Gemara has a whole sugya in Brochas. The Gemara quotes the Pasuk, En Chochma Vein Tfuna Vein Eitzel Negar Hashem, that Kovar Abrius should be disregarded when it comes to a real Nisa Deraisa. You're not allowed to violate an Aver Deraisa Mishum Kovar Abrius. But Anisa the Rabbanon, we say Godel Kavra Abisha Docha Lasesa Shabbatora, which Lasesa Shabbatora Loisoser. Loisoser is only the Rabbanon. The Gemara says, "Call me the Rabbanon, Asmachina Rabbanon, Alav the Loisoser." So that's what that memra means. In Brochas Davchafalef, I think Davchof Davchafalef over there, that Mishum Kavra Abiyas, you can violate Din of the Rabbanon. So the Gemara talks about what says Kavra Abiyas. Let's say a person goes to the Beis HaKisa. If he doesn't clean himself off, he's going to walk around smelly. So what's he going to clean himself off with? In the days of the Gemara, they didn't have any toilet paper, so they used to use pebbles. So the pebbles are muktzah. It's mavana offer is muktzah. So even though it's muktzah, so if you're mazmin it in advance, let's say you have a bris on Shabbos, so there's an old minig that's mentioned in Shulchan Aruch in the days they quote Shuvas HaGainim, And it appears in the Zohar on the Pasuk in Parshas Bolot. Mi mono afa Yaakov. Who can count? Bilam Harasha says, who can count all of the cups of Ofer where the Moilin did a bris milah and they took the oil and they were matmin ba'ofer? This minig to take the orlam, put it matmin ba'ofer, is a very old minig. So the Shadas on Shabbos and Yom Tov, Ofer is muktzah. Eisma vana ba'ofer is muktzah. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch, quoting from the Tshuvas HaGoyim, if something is muktzah and you mazmin it in advance of Shabbos, on Erev Shabbos, you plan to handle it on Shabbos, so it remains muktzah, but it has a head to tiltle for that. That's what the Gemara says. On Yom Tov, you're permitted to make, not to be moled resh mechadosh, but to throw material into the fire to keep your body warmer in order to make a fire to cook food. Etter echan nefesh et tzarcha yang tzas. Echan nefesh, you want to cook the food, et tzarcha yang tzas, you want to keep the body warm. Some rishonim hold that to keep tzarcha aguf is called echan nefesh mamish, and others hold that it's mitoch. It's a machlekes, pisham e mesillah. If you're allowed to throw in fuel in the fire, not for the purpose of cooking food, but in order to keep the body warm. So Bishamai hold that it's not Urchan Nefesh. They don't believe in Mitoch. And Mesillah say you are permitted to throw in logs into the fire on Yontif in order to keep the body warm. So there's a long, long Rashbo, a very long Rashbo, where he quotes Pirush HaMishnah Yisrael HaRambam, and he quotes those who disagree. Pirush HaMishnah says that that's Urchan Nefesh Mamish. All Tzarech HaGluf is Urchan Nefesh. And the other day, in the long Rashbo on the Mishnayos and Beitza, there is no that the Silul agree of Beis Shammai that the throwing logs in order to keep the body warm is not Urchan Nefesh, but it's Tzarech HaYom Ktzas. So the Silul Shitosim and Mishal and Beis Shammai the Shitosim. Beis Shammai don't believe in Mitoch, so they say you're not allowed to carry on Yom Tov. You're only allowed to carry food if you want to have a picnic in the park, but you're not allowed to carry a lulav. Lots is by not allowed to take it to shul. You're not allowed to carry a machzah to shul. They don't believe in tzarcha yang tzas. You're not allowed to carry a tinuk lamuloi. Say v'tar likras by a lulav. Lots is by you're not allowed to. We still say it's muta because that's a yam. That's a dim. It tells shuhutro. It saw the tzarcha chanav shuhutronami tzarcha yang tzas. So So you're permitted to throw logs in the fire on Yom Tov. On Shabbos not, it's a malach of Havar. But on Yom Tov, you're permitted to throw in logs to maintain the fire to keep the body warm. But the logs are muktzah. So the Gemara says, if you're mazman the logs in advance, then you're allowed to be metaltala. But the log, it's mukta machmas gufo. What does it help that the mazman in advance still got to be mukta? The Gemara says, you're right. The two kinds of mazmans on mukta. Sometimes I have an item that's not useful and I plan to use it, let's say money, cash, is mukta machmas gufo. But if you have loafers, they used to have what they call penny loafers. So there was a little crack in the front, so you would take a penny and put it over there. Or let's say you have a bucket that you want to lower down into the well in order to draw water on Shabbos and Yom Tov. But the bucket is made from wood, so it's going to float on top of the water. How are you going to get it to go down below the surface of the water? So they used to tie on the bottom of the bucket, they used to tie on even the kirvia. Kirvia is the wooden bucket that floats. And the heaven they would tie on the bottom, that it should weigh it down, and it should go down to submerge, to be submerged under the surface of the water. So if you tie on an heaven, shebi kirvia, you tie a stone, a heavy stone, onto the bottom of the bucket, or you put in a penny into the loafer, so it blends in to become part of the kli, so then it's no longer mukta. But if your mazman pebbles to use in the Beis HaKiseh, or your mazmin logs in order to throw them in the fire, the logs remain mukta, and the pebbles remain mukta. That's what the Gemara says. It remains mukta, but you're allowed to handle it for that purpose or for another equally important purpose or more important purpose. But it still remains mukta. If you want to handle the logs, or you want to handle the offer for a purpose less important than the one that you designated it for, then we say you're not allowed to, because it remains mukta, and the hazmana that you made in advance is only for such a chashav hishtamshus. So years ago they didn't have toilet paper, so there would be mazmin pebbles, and so it would still remain mukta, but you're permitted to be metatla for this purpose. What if the person forgot to, he didn't have the opportunity to be mazmin in advance, so the whole prohibition of tilta mukta is only with the rabbana, and he doesn't want to smell. That's a kavod abrius. He doesn't want to have a bad reach. So kavod abrius, yamater all the rabbans. So we allow him to handle mukta on Shabbos. Also, let's say they had no toilets. They had no special private room. So let's say the pebbles are over here and his privacy is going to be over there. He's going to be carrying in a karmelis. So we allow you to carry in a karmelis because of kavod abrius, because he has to be oisid tzarachav, so we allow that. So the shaila is, let's say today we have toilet paper, so we don't use pebbles anymore. So the fellow wants to use toilet paper on Shabbos, and he didn't rip it up in advance. So one of the malachas on Shabbos is mechatech. So mechatech betolut, if you're detaching something from the ground, that's kotzer. That's a malacha kotzer. We're talking the roll of toilet paper is not attached to the ground. It's not growing from the ground. There's no malacha kotzer. But so they used to say years ago when I was in high school, the Rebbe told us that if you rip on the perforation, that's machatech b'mida. And so you shouldn't do machatech b'mida is a malacha. But machatech b'tolu shalo b'mida, that's mutter. That's a shayla in the Magen Avraham in Hilchas Lulav. It says we usually rip off strips. The lulav is very fat. It has a lot of leaves, and each leaf is double tiyomis. So usually we rip off some of the long leaves before Yantiv, and then you wind it around, and you tuck it in to hold together the hadasim and aravis together with the lulav. What if the person forgot on Erev Yantiv to rip off strips from the lulav? Is he allowed to rip it off on Yontif in order to wrap around the Hadassim and Aravis? So the Magen Avraham talks about the issue. So first he says it's Machatech Betolu Shalo B'mida. So he thinks that it's Hetter Gomer. And then he adds on, maybe there's a Marasai. Maybe people may think that it's a Maloche, which it really isn't. So maybe he should only do it Betolush. Then he says, and maybe it is a Maloche mid the Rabbanan. So maybe not only should you do it in Tzina, you shouldn't do it in public, because people may think that you're doing an Issa. Maybe there is an Issa, so maybe it's only an Issa, the Rabbanan, because of Mechatech Shalom B'mida. So maybe you should do it B'shinov. So that'll be a shvuz. The shvuz from makam mitzvahs mechatak shalom b'midah, and it's done al day shinui. So if it's a double the rabbanon, so shvuz the shvuz from makam mitzvah is mutter. We mentioned that Chacham Avadia has a tshuva. He points out that some of the Galatiana Achrayim in the 1800s came up with a chiddush, and he thinks that it's not correct. They came up with a chiddush that shvuz the shvuz from makam mitzvah is mutter. Not every shvuz the shvuz, only amir liakam to do at the rabbanon. But if the Yisrael is going to do an activity which is also because of a combination of two rabbanons, even above, like over here, mechatech shaloi b'mida, mechatech b'tola shaloi b'mida is only the rabbanon. You're going to do it the shinah. You're going to rip it with your teeth. Are they shinui? So that's a double the rabbanon. So some galutzian achrayim thought that that's not called. That doesn't qualify as a shvuz the shvuz b'makam tzarakodl. That doesn't qualify. So the Pashto says that that's not correct, because Taisus in a few places, Taisus and other Rishonim write Beferish, even if the Yisrael is doing it, if it's a double drabana, it has a status of a shvuz the shvuz, the Mamakam mitzvah would be mut, the Mamakam tzarakol. But if it's Kavod Abrias issue, so Kavod Abrias is, you don't have to make it into a shvuz the shvuz. Kavod Abrias wants it, it's only the Rabbanan, so it would be mutta. So that's what the Rabbanim used to say years ago. If you rip the toilet paper on the perforation, that's called mechatech b'mida. If you rip it in the middle of the piece, that's mechatech shelo b'mida. So that's only the Rabbanim. Maybe muta legamre, maybe it's only the Rabbanim. So there, there's room to be made on Shem Kavod Abrias.
I know the Rebbe's close to Rav Asher Weiss, and he said in the shir, he questions whether that's really mechatech b'mida. Mida means is a special measurement you need, 6 feet, 3 feet. This mida, this perforation, just for convenience of holding the size, it's an arbitrary mida. Right. He thinks, right. I heard him say this year on the web that they, I don't know if he actually even said it or just doubts that that's really the mida. You can probably cut it on the perforation too.
Right. So they quote that to the name of Rab Shlaima Zalman and Rabbi Yashin. They thought that even if you rip the toilet paper on the perforation, it just makes it easier to rip, but that's not called b'mida.
That's right.
It doesn't need it. There should be 5 inches by 2.5 inches. Doesn't need that. It's just easier to rip it on the perforation. So they quote in their name that's not called mechata b'mida.
Yeah, I've heard from Rav Asher. Thank you.
Yeah. The Mishnah Brura has a Bir Halacha where he raises a question. If Maleches, going back again to Kosher, if Kosher is only Osir, if it's Kesher Shel Kayama, and we explained that two, Rabbi Moshe Soloveitchik explained, the two aspects to Kesher Shel Kayama. Number one, the Tzuris HaKesher. Haniva doesn't have the Tzuris HaKesher Shel Kayama. That's how we paskin. Against the Tana Rabbi Yudah holds Aniva is Kesher Shel Kayama, we say no. And then you have to have Machshavah to leave it for a long period of time. So the Gemara assumes that Dover Pashut, that the tight tzitzis on a beged is a malacha on Shabbos, a malacha deraisa on Shabbos. So the Mishnah Brura asks why. Let him tie the tzitzis on the beged on Shabbos and have a mind to untie it on Matzoy Shabbos and to retie it again. So why not, if you're lacking the intention of leaving it for 6 months or for indefinitely, so here he has a mind beferish. Right after Abdul is going to untie the tzitzis, then he's going to tie it again. So he says, he gets, the Mishnah Brura writes in the Bir Halacha, he gets the impression from the Gemara that says you're not allowed to tie tzitzis on Shabbos and Issa Daraisa. He gets the impression that since B'noig Sheba Olam, when you tie tzitzis, you leave it like that permanently. So that's called Shel Kayama, even if you have explicit intention of untying it within 24 hours. That intention, since it doesn't correspond to the nature of the Kesher, so by definition, that's always called a Kesher Shel Kayama. Take, for example, opening up an umbrella. So opening an umbrella, to use it, is a question of oil. You're making an oil aroi. Binyan is one of the Lamates Melachos is Bonet. But bonin is only awesome in Atar if it's a binyan shel keva. If it's oil aroi, we call it oil because it's aroy. And if it's keva, then we call it bona. So oil aroy is awesome mid-rabbanim. So if you open up an umbrella, it's a shayla of oil aroy. We'll have to get the oil. We'll have to discuss it. Kazanish holds that since it's manufactured like that, based on the Gemara, he thinks that that's not called asiyas oil. Since they manufacture the umbrellas, that they should open them. So why don't we do it? So why don't we open umbrellas on Yom Shabbos? You're not allowed to carry. Well, let's say you have an Erev, you are allowed to carry, or on Yom Tov, you're allowed to carry if it's Litzorech. So why don't we open up umbrellas? So the Chazanish says it's a bizoyan of Shabbos. What's the bizoyan of Shabbos? It's more bekavadik to walk around with sopping wet clothing, to be sopping wet. Why, that's quote Shabbos. I think what he means is a little unclear. I think what he means is that this was a big pirtza that the Reform started. The Reform movement started making makeshift umbrellas on Shabbos because they didn't care about the malachas. So he says that umbrellas have with it a whole baggage of a history, that it's reminiscent of the pirtzas hadas that was caused by the Reform. So that's why he says we don't do it. But strictly speaking, he holds that there's no bona, it's not even binyan aroy. It's manufactured like that. Opening an umbrella should really be at the gomor. And if you have a baby carriage and you pull up the hood, so we always used to think if the gomor says someone had a whole herd of animals, and in the daytime the sun would be beating down on them in the summertime, so you had to have, you had to stretch a roof on top of them that they shouldn't get a sunstroke. And at nighttime, they needed the fresh air. They had to take off the roof. So the Gemara says it's a question of if the roof is stretched out of tefach on top, so then it's called mosif aloel aroy. It's only an oil aroy. You're not really attaching any bricks to the ground. You're just stretching out the roof on top of them in the daytime and taking it down at nighttime to give them fresh air. So the Gemara says if it was stretched out horizontally at tefach before Shabbos began, then you stretch it further, that's called tasefes al aroy. So tasefes al aroy is machlag satanan. We pass on that as muta. Tasefes al aroy is muta.
Wasn't the umbrella supposed to be ma'ahel?
The what?
I heard the word ma'ahel about the umbrella.
Well, I would say if
she makes a tent.
Ohel.
Yeah.
Ma'ahil.
Yes.
Ma'ahil, yeah. That's a question of Oyel Aroy, right?
Yeah, okay. No, yeah, I didn't understand what you were saying. I thought it was just a homa. Okay.
Right. So the Chazanish says, by the baby carriage also, he says, we don't really require, everybody always assumed that you have to have a tefach stretched out horizontally if you want to stretch the hood of the baby carriage further. But if it wasn't up at all before Shabbos began, then it's not called Masif and Aloy Aroy. They're making an oil aroy betchila that you're not allowed to do. So the Chazanish disagrees. And he says, no, since they manufactured like that, the Gemara says beferish. If it's manufactured like that, so there's no prohibition of oil aroy. So somebody asked Rav Moshe what he has in the Chubas. What do you say about the Chazanish's cool about the baby carriages? So he says, everybody knows the Chazanish is wrong, so I don't have to bother to write a Chuba to explain it. Nobody does like that. That's true. Most people think that you have to have the baby carriage stretched out of tefach. But it's the same Chazanish by the umbrella and by the baby carriage. It's a Gemara, Beferish, has a Gemara. Since it's manufactured al das kein, so then there's no Yisurim over there. There's no Yisurim over there.
So that's a shmak on the sukkah. Protect from the rain.
So what's the shaila? You have schach, you have a layer of schach. And then when you put the shlach, let's say I have a table and I put a tablecloth on. So the tablecloth is just on top of the table. So if I would have just the outline of a table, but there wouldn't be any top on the table, and I put a tablecloth, that's a shaila v'ol aroy. But I have, the table has the top on it. So I put the tablecloth on top. So that's, I'm not making a new ohel. I'm just making the ohel a little thicker. I'm adding on a tenth of an inch to the thickness of the ohel by putting a tablecloth on top. So if you have the schach on top of the sukkah, and then you roll some plastic on top of the schach. So just, there already is an ohel there. There already, the schach is there already. So you just roll something out. That's not a problem of an ohel. Unless you have a shlach that's a tefach of empty space in between the schach and the shlach on top, so then you're making a new ohel. So that would be a shiloh. But also we assume that since the shlach is manufactured, adas kain, so we assume that that's not a prohibition of making an ohel aroi. That's along the lines of that chazon ish, by the umbrella and by the baby carriage. So the shlach is manufactured like that, that it should be open up. Yeah. So this is along the lines of that chazon ish. The chazon ish says, if you're going to tie tzitzis on Shabbos, the Gemara says that's an isa deraisa. The tie tzitzis on Shabbos and isa deraisa. The Gemara perek of lezer the milah. So the Gemara, we assume that a milah bizmana is deicha Shabbos, but any other mitzvah is not deicha Shabbos. So let's say, what's another example? Let's say I have to shake a lulav. Minatar, you shake a lulav and an esrik, even if Sukkot falls out on Shabbos, you still shake the lulav and esrik. With the Rabbanan, at a certain point in history, the Chachamim prohibited the tilas lulav, gzeir derab, shem the abarana dalanamas pushusar. May forget and carry it on Shabbos. But on the level of the rice, you have to shake the lulav and the esrik, even on Shabbos. So would you be permitted to, you only yotze the esrig if it's detached from the tree. Let's say the guy's going to hold the esrig, it's attached to the tree, and the lulav is attached to the tree. So it's not a lulav and an esrig, it has to be detached. Are you allowed to rip it off from the tree on Shabbos or on Yontif? So we say, no, you're not allowed to. That's like bris milah. You're permitted to do the milah bizman on Shabbos, but you're not allowed to carry the knife in the street. That's called machshire milah. That's the hachonis for the bris milah. So, machshir and milah we don't allow to be deicher Shabbos. And the Tana Reb Lezer disagrees. He thinks not only machshir and milah deicher Shabbos, all machshir, all the mitzvahs are deicher Shabbos. So he says, if you forgot to rip off the esrog and the lulav before Shabbos, men atorah yimachuyev to shake the lulav and the dalaminim even on Shabbos, and even the machshir and mitzvah are also deicher Shabbos. You're permitted to rip it off from the tree because it's called man mechubit to the tree. You can't do the nanuim. You can't. It's not called the netilas lulav. You have to pick it up at least a tefach. Otherwise, you didn't do netilas lulav. So we say that you're not allowed to do machshirei mitzvah, but Rav Lezer holds you're allowed to. So Gemara says, but there is certain machshirei mitzvah where Rav Lezer would agree that you're not allowed to. Take, for example, to tie the tzitzis on a beged. So Rav Lezer would not permit you to tie the tzitzis on Shabbos or Yom Tov, because since the mitzvah of tzitzis only applies if you're wearing your four-cornered garment, if the beged belongs to you, if it tal sheula, if you borrow a beged from someone else, you borrow a four-cornered beged from somebody else and it doesn't have any tzitzis in it, so you're not mechuyev to put on tzitzis min haTorah. Mid the Rabbanon, if you borrow it for more than 30 days, then the tal sheula kol am yom p'turim, and not tzitzis lach am yom, is chayev is betzitzis. That's midirabonim. But on the level of the Raisa, you're not mechuyev. So even if you have a four-cornered garment that belongs to you, since you could be mafka the garment, let's say I'm living in a house on Shabbos and I have to put a mezuzah, and I didn't write the mezuzah. Am I permitted to write the mezuzah? Am I permitted to nail up the mezuzah on Shabbos? So Rav Lezer says no. That moider Rav Lezer machshirei mezuzah and machshirei tzitzis that you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. Why? Because it's a chiyuv mitzvah that's not absolute. If I'm mafka the beggar, it's not shaliyah. If I'm mafka the house, then I'm not chayiv in mezuzah. The only time you have chsav the mezuzah is beisecha or visharecha, if the bias belongs to you. If I'm mafka the house or I'm living in someone else's house, you're not chayiv in mezuzah min haTorah. You're only chayiv in the rabbanon mishum arisayim. So that's what the Mishnah Brura is commenting on. The Gemara is assuming that tying chutei tzitzis on a beged on Shabbos constitutes a melacha deraisa, and they have to give an explanation. Why doesn't Rav Lezer allow it? They say because it's not an absolute chiyuv. If it'll be matka the house, then you can remain in the house even without the mezuzah, min haTorah. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah points out. Why is it a melacha? Let him tie the chutim on Shabbos. Have in mind to untie it on Mitzvah Shabbos. He says, no. Chutte tzitzis, the nature of the tzitzis is that you tie the tzitzis and you leave it like that permanently. You don't untie it. So even though you have the favorish in mind, you publicize it, tell everybody, I'm tying the tzitzis on Shabbos with the intention I'm untying it after Shabbos, that's called kesher shel kayama. Since normally it's not untied, that's called kesher shel kayama. So that's like the Chazon Ish said about the umbrella. Umbrella, if you open the umbrella, it's going to stay open the olam until you close it. That's not called oil kavua. That's not called binyan kavua. That's called oil aroi. Because by the nature of the umbrella is you only open it up when it's raining and when you want it to dry out. But usually you close the umbrella. So by the nature of the umbrella, it's called aroi. So here also, by its very nature, the chutei tzitzis are called kesher shel kayama. Even if you personally have in mind to take the whole thing apart after Havdalah. When we started the melachas, so we first discussed the first 11 melachas are called siduri de pas. You plow the ground, then that's chorish, then you do zareya, then you do kotzer. Now 11 melachas till you finish ofer. Ofer mevashel is the same melacha. Then the next list of melachas are the 13 melachas that lead up to asiyas habeged. So the whole bunch of melachas that have to do with weaving. One is when you do niputz, when you have to soften the wool or the flax that grew from the bush, from the ground. And then you have to do tviya when you make it into thread. Then you do crisscross, you make the warp and the woof and so on. A whole bunch of melachas. The Chayei Odom was written by, the author of the Chayei Odom was a businessman. And then in the end of his life, they appointed him as a Dayan Vilna. And he wrote this for him when he was in business, before he became the Dayan in Vilna. Before he was appointed as a Dayan in Vilna. So a lot of times he would be away from home on Shabbos, staying in a motel somewhere, and there would be other businessmen who were staying there also. So he wrote a special sefer in Hilchos Shabbos called Sichat Aras Moshe. He had a son who died young. His son's name was Moshe. The son, I think, died on Purim. So he complains, he has a Matzevus Moshe at the end of the Chochmas Adam in memory of his son. And he has Shabbos Tshuvas and Hilchos Aveilus. And he complains about the Chevra Kadisha in Vilna that they didn't observe the dinim properly. In Vilna, in the days of the Vilna going, the Chevra Kadisha didn't observe the dinim properly. So he named this sefer also, just like Matzevus Moshe was in memory of his son. So this sefer, Zichut Taras Moshe, has all the Hilchos Shabbos. All the malachas are discussed there. So he points out in the Hagdamah to the sefer that the malachas that are involved in making the godim, the 13 malachas involved making godim, we are so far from understanding what they are. They printed books in English and Hebrew about what these malachas are. He says he remembers once being on Shabbos in an inn in a little motel with other religious Jewish businessmen, and one of them had nothing to do, so he walked over to the spindle and he was pushing with his feet and converting the wool into thread. And the businessman didn't realize that, and he was reciting the Mishnah and Shabbos by heart. He was reciting Ovis Malachas, he was reciting it by heart, and didn't realize that what he was doing was Mamish the Malacha. These Malachas are making thread and making cloth. These are real Malachas. So he encourages everyone to review all the dinim of Malacha Shabbos, because a lot of times, without even realizing it, we violate these malachas on Shabbos. I just want to say a brief comment on the Parshas Tazria. My wife gave birth to 9 babies, and each time a woman gives birth to a baby, she's obligated to bring a set of karbonis to the Beis HaMikdash. We haven't had any Beis HaMikdash in a long time. So Meheri Yimara Beis HaMikdash, well, the Beis HaMikdash may be rebuilt tomorrow morning. So my wife will be obligated to bring 9 sets of karbonis. But the Gemara says increases as soon as she brings the first set of karbanas, she's already tahira. Let's say a person goes to 10 different funerals, person attends 100 different funerals, each time he comes in contact with a mace, each time he's in the same room with a mace, he becomes Tamei Tumas mace. So when he wants to become tahir, does he have to be toivel in the mikveh 10 times or 100 times? No. He became Tamei 10 times or 100 times. He goes to the mikveh once, that removes the whole tumah. So the Mishnah increases, the second parak increases, starts off with a statement, Abba Mechusir Kaparahein. There are four people who are Tamei, and they have to go to mikveh to remove the tumah, and after they went to the mikveh, then they have to wait till Seis HaKachavim, that's called Harav Shemesh. Kolzman, that they, after they went to mikveh, before Shkia, before Seis HaKachavim, that's called the Tful Yom. So Tful Yom is still Tamei, he can't, he's not allowed to enter the Beis HaMikdash. And there were four people, four Tameim, Abba Mechusi Kapara, they went to mikveh already, and they already had Harav Shemesh, and they still have a Din of Tumah until they bring the Karbanis, the set of Karbanis, the offering of the Karbanis will complete their Tahara process. So that's called Abba Mechusi Kapara. Who are the four people? So that's Zab Zava. Zab is a man, Zav is a woman, Yoledis, and a Mitzora. So these four people are the Abba Mechusi Kapara. So the Gemara says, just like if I attended 100 funerals and later on I go to mikveh once, people make a mistake, they think you have to have Hazor, Shlishi, Shvi'i from Parah Aduma, water, and that's it. If you paid attention on Shabbos, when they relayed Parshas Parah, so it says Beferish, that says Beferish, after Hazor, Shlishi, Shvi'i, then you toivel in the mikveh. But let's say a person attended 100 funerals and he became Tamei 100 times from Mason, you don't have to be toivel in the mikveh 100 times. There are 100 reasons why he's Tamei Mase. All he has to do is Hazor Shlishi Shvi'i. Go to mikveh once, that removes all the tumas. Here also, the women who had 9 babies have a mitzvah to bring 9 sets of karbanas, but as soon as they brought the first set of karbanas, so she's, the woman is no longer considered Tamei B'chusi Kippurim. Hashara le'achayva. She's obligated to bring the other 8 sets of karbanas. Once she brings the first set of karbanas, so she's no longer Tamei. She's already permitted to enter into the Beis HaMikdash, and she's permitted to eat the Korban Pesach. She's Tahara Lagamre. But she has to bring the sets of Korbanos. There is a Machloika Satanoim, the name of the Perek, it's Perek Yotzei Doifin and Maserchas Nida. So there's a Machloika Satanoim. What if a woman has a cesarean delivery? Is that called the older Zohar? In the cave of Teled, is that called the Leda? So the Tana, one Tana holds that that's Leda, even if the woman had a Yotzi Daifen, a cesarean delivery, a cesarean section, is also Mechuyev. She also has Tumas Yoledes, and we don't pass like that. We pass that a Yotzi Daifen has no Yimei Tumah the Tahara. So that's a Machleik and Satanaim and Nida, and we pass there's no Yimei Tumah the Tahara. Now Masech Shabbos, there's a Machleik and Samaroim. What's the din? If a person if a woman had a cesarean section and there was a boy, is there a din of mila bismana? So there's a machloke samarayim because the pasuk says ishi kis hazur v'yalda zoch odam mishavos yamim kimei nida dvesa titma b'yamash minihim ol b'sar ol osay. So one amir is of the opinion that kol she'ein ima t'mei aleida ein anima lishmaina. The only time there's a din of mila bismana that should take place on the 8th day, that's only if ima t'mei aleida, if it was a normal birth, a normal delivery. But if it was a yotze daifen, a cesarean section, then there's no din of yamashmini. And the other amara disagrees. So the Gemara says, whenever these two amaraim disagree, it's a sfeika de dina. We never resolve. Usually over the generations, when there was a machlekes hatanaim and a machlekes hamaraim, so they took a vote and they figured out what the consensus is. And whenever there's machlekes, these two hamaraim, I forgot the names, the first daf, the perek ablez and the milo, so it's considered a sveka diyoma. If the baby boy was delivered through cesarean section, whether the bris has to take place on the 8th day, you can take care of the bris today. So misofik, we go l'chumra in both directions. So we say if there was a cesarean delivery, you shouldn't do the bris before the 8th day. But if the 8th day happens to be Shabbos, then it's not Decha Shabbos, because maybe it's not called Mila Bizmana. Maybe there is no Dina Mila Bizmana. Maybe you could have done it yesterday, the day before. You could have done it in the middle of the week. So Misafi could go Luchum in both directions. So there was a mice in the New York area many, many years ago, a long time ago, where one of the religious men didn't show up in shul on Shabbos morning. Then on Shabbos afternoon, he shows up in shul and tells everybody he had to go with his wife to the hospital this morning. She had a baby boy. So they were all excited that he's going to have a bris next Shabbos. He's going to have the bris in the shul. There was a mayor of it in the neighborhood, going to have the bris in the shul. So one of the other rabbis, the rabbi of this shul was a young rabbi at Smicha from Yeshiva University. He didn't know this din in the Gemara, in the Rambam, in the Shulchan Aruch, that if it's a Yotzei Dofen, if the baby was delivered cesarean section. He didn't know the din. So one of the other older rabbis in the neighborhood realized he's going to be Mechal Shabbos, Shalik Adin, he's going to do a bris on Shabbos, on a Yotzei Dofen, Keneged HaLacha. So he went to visit the younger rabbi, and he brought with him a Gemara Shabbos, and a Rambam, and a Shulchan Aruch. So he opened up the Gemara, showed him where the Gemara has the Machlaikas, in the beginning of Perek of Lezer and Mila. Then he showed him the Rambam Paskins that a Yotze Deifen, the Bris Mila is not Deicha Shabbos. Then he showed him Shulchan Aruch has like that. So the young rabbi realized that he made a mistake, so he was embarrassed to say he made a mistake. So he said, he has to call Rabbi Soloveitchik. Maybe Rabbi Soloveitchik has a different shita. Mm-hmm. Why does Rabbi Soloveitchik have a different shita? He's going to disagree with the Gemara, the Rambam, and the Shulchan Aruch. Mm-hmm. Rabbi Soloveitchik didn't have any different shita. It's a black and white Gemara. There's nothing to pilfer about over here. So he called Rabbi Soloveitchik, and Rabbi Soloveitchik said, "Yeah, it's a davi yadua. It's a davin. You don't do the bris milah on Shabbos." Let's say this year, when is Pesach? The first 2 days of Pesach is, I think, Shabbos and Sunday. Is that correct? So let's say baby boy will have a cesarean delivery this Sunday before Pesach. And the Mila Bizmana, the eighth day, will be on the second day Yantav. So that's a machlokes in Rishonim, where the Mila Shalai Bizmana is Dech Yantav Sheni Shal Golius. Mila Shalai Bizmana is not Dech Shabbos. Mila Shalai Bizmana is not Dech Yantav Sheni Shal Rosh Hashanah. That's a Mishnah. And Rav Lezer the Mila, and that's a Mishnah also. Where is it? The other Mishnah? I forgot already. It's a Mishnah and Erchen also. Midrash Lebizmana is not Decha Yantav Sheni Shal Rosh Hashanah. So in the days of the Tanoim and the Mishnah, they lived in Eretz Yisrael, so they only had 2 days Rosh Hashanah. They didn't have 2 days Pesach Shavuot Sukkot. They didn't have Yantav Sheni Shal Golias. They didn't live in Golias. Most of the Tanoim lived in Eretz Yisrael. So what's the din of a Mila Shal Lebizmana on a Yantav Sheni Shal Golias? So that's a machlekes, the Rosh and the Rambam. So the common practice is, even though some poskim can say not, so the common practice is that you don't perform a Mila Shalai Bizmana and any Yantav Sheni Shal Golias. But if the baby was a cesarean delivery the Sunday before Pesach, so then the Nadi Yehuda says, we would perform the bris on the second day Yantav, because that's a Sfek Sveka. Maybe the din is like the Rambam, that you're permitted to perform a Mila Shalai Bizmana and any Yantav Sheni Shal Golias. And even if you're all like the Rosh, that you're not permitted to perform a Mila Shal Bizmana, Yantav Sheni Shal Golias, but here maybe it is a Mila Bizmana, because it was a cesarean delivery, and that's a Machlekes HaMarayim. Is there a din of Shmini or not? So the Nadi Yehuda considers that as a Sfek Sveka. Or the same thing, let's say, the baby was born Bein Hashmashes, the week before Pesach, baby was born Bein Hashmashes, in between Shabbos going into Matzoi Shabbos into Sunday. So the next week, you wouldn't perform the bris milo on the first day Pesach. Maybe it's Tos Mana. Maybe Ben Hashmashes is Lailo. Nor would you perform the bris milo on the second day Pesach. It's a suffix milo bismana, milo shlo bismana. But the Nadi Bihuli says in such a case, you also have a Svek Sveka. Maybe Ben Hashmashes is Laila, so it's a Mila Bizmana. So the baby was born, Ben Hashmashes is going from Shabbos into Matzoi Shabbos a week before Pesach. So maybe the Bris Mila is supposed to take place on Sunday. Maybe that's the Mila Bizmana. And even if the Zmana is really on Shabbos, not on Sunday, so we wouldn't be Mechal Shabbos because it's a Safek. but maybe we wouldn't be Michal Shabbos, but maybe the din is on Mila Shalai Bisman is permissible to do Ayan Tabashenu Shagolis. So that's the Nadi Bihuda. If the baby was born by Hashmasha, so the baby was a cesarean delivery, that's a Sveika, and it's Ayan Tabashenu Shagolis, that's a Machlaikas, the Rosh and the Rambam, whether you do a Mila Shalai Bisman Ayan Tabasheni. In such a case, you would have a Svek Sveika. Yeah. So this is relevant. It comes up every yontav. There's always a baby. I remember there was once years ago, one of the rabbonim called me up. A woman had twins. So one baby was born a week before the first day Pesach. The other twin was born Bein Hashmashes, going from the first day to the second day. So they wanted to know that they have to have... No. I think I said it over wrong. No. One baby was born, the older baby was born Bein Hashmashes a week before Pesach. The one baby was born Bein Hashmashes between one day and the other. So it's a, you can't do the bris on the first day Yontif, but the second day was a Sofik Milah Bizmana. The second baby was born on a week before the second day Yontif. So the shaila was that they have to, so the second baby, they're going to do the bris milah on the second day yantas. The first baby was born Bein Hashmashes, so they can't do the bris on the first day yantas, can't do the bris on the second day. So they had to make two bris for the two babies, and the second bris is going to be a chalmos. So you have to have two parties. It's going to be twice as expensive. So I told the rabbi that the Nadi Behuda says when it's a svek sveke, so the, for the first baby who was born Bein Hashmashes, in between, and the week later, the Bein Hashmashes would be in between the first day Yontif and the second day Yontif. So that's mutter to perform the bris on the first baby also on the second day Yontif because of this svek sveke. Maybe Bein Hashmashes says Laila, so the second day Yontif is Mila Bizmana. And even if Bein Hashmashes says Yom, and the second day Yontif Shen Shal Golia says Mila Shalai Bizmana, maybe the din is like the Ramam, they're only... Second day Rosh Hashanah, you're not allowed to perform a Milah Shalai Bizmana. Second day Pesach, you are allowed to. So that's the Poskim quote, the Pischei Tshuva and Hilchas Milah, quotes that from Nadi Behuda. That comes up every Yom Tov. There's always an issue. But that's how we pass it. That's on this week's Seder, the beginning of Parshas Tazria. Okay, we'll leave that next week. We'll continue in the Malachis, and then the week after, we'll speak a little bit about Inyani Pesach.
And over here, you get Mazel Tov.
Yes. My daughter, who lives in Atlanta, Georgia, child number 9, had her 6th baby.
Mazel tov. Mazel tov.
Mazel tov.
Much nachas.
Amen.
Thank you. Good night.
Mazel tov. Thank you.
Mazel tov. Thank you, Yashita.
Thank you.
One second.